workers' production experience, which enables them to get out the most out of machines and materials, is as necessary to low-cost production as management's function in providing machinery, goods, materials, bought with discrimination and profitable sale of finished products. Central bodies believe management should work out with union representatives necessary conditions of cooperation as a contract provision. Upon management's willingness to make such agreements and the educational developments which will follow depends the future of free enterprise. The future of free enterprise is bound up with mutual understanding of the functions of investors, management, and production staff, with appreciation of the interdependence of sustained economic progress, the prosperity for all functional groups. If management really wants the cooperation of its production staff, it must accept basic principles which will give direction to the whole management program. These are the principles to which all central bodies wholeheartedly subscribe. First, workers are human beings who act like other persons. They want justice and rights, the basic elements of freedom. They want to work and to create. They want the right of voluntary association and freedom of contract. They want for themselves and their families ever greater opportunities so that they can share in social progress. And they want to participate in national policies and in electing political representatives. Acceptance of these principles means acceptance of the workers' right to union membership with freedom to select their representatives for collective bargaining. On this basis, central bodies have come to believe management has a right to ask the cooperation of workers in production. Management should explain to them just what it wants to accomplish and why costs must be lower. Management should work with them, give them records of what they produce and the cost, give them records regularly so that they can see the results of efforts, talk over progress with them so that there is mutual understanding. Management will then mobilize the creative power of the whole workforce instead of confining the creative work to a few in management. In proceeding in that fashion, management will find it no longer needs such gadgets as time study, for each worker will adapt his motions to his purposeful economies and will not need management to tell him how to move. They should stimulate the worker's creative ability and keep records of what he does for both his and management's information. And soon they will be able to abandon costly gadgets like job evaluation, which confuse the problem of fair play. By thus securing the cooperation of workers in reducing production costs, it will also stimulate the duties of management and reduce costs, while gaining more time for management's indispensable function, planning and administering production to get the best product at the lowest price. Central bodies know this will not end management's responsibility. Workers who are indispensable partners in producing goods and services naturally expect higher pay for better work. The sale of these products brings returns from which compensation is made to all contributing to production. All who share in production and returns have the right of access to the facts on these various transactions. Workers who put in an all-out effort have a right to expect management to provide the necessary profits for just compensation. Central bodies believe workers have a right to know the quantities produced, their costs, returns from sales, total production costs, total profits, and their distribution. They have a right to the facts of the cooperative efforts for their representatives to use in collective bargaining in order to determine fair compensation for future work. Production records kept by management should not be regarded as a trade secret or used exclusively for management's ends. These records should be available for the guidance of all whose work is concerned and serve as the basis for collective bargaining to distribute the returns from sale of joint production. It is the function of central bodies to insist upon this procedure. Only when the facts are available is there evidence of even-handed justice. Justice assumes open facts, not concealed records. These records are not a trade or competitive secret. The competition should be in managerial judgment and skill and in the ability of the production staff to use production of facilities to turn out better products at lower cost. Unions are a force with which every company must cope. Unions have their roots in workers' needs and will persist as long as workers are working for wages. If management denies the facts needed for fair collective bargaining, they will have to deal with undercover methods to get the facts, with misrepresentations and misstatements, and finally with the use of force as a substitute for facts. It is the function of central bodies to urge management to give the facts regularly as a matter of justice and as a wise measure to safeguard free enterprise. Give the facts and explain them to so that their workers will know costs of materials and advertising, the need for reserves for various purposes, the need for machine replacement, the need to keep up with technical improvements, as well as for fair compensation for work done. Management should make this move to share records voluntarily in their own interest so that all business will remain free. Our central bodies know we have the greatest free enterprise system in the world. Our high standards of living testify to its efficiency. It will be easy to slide into more and more governmental regulation if industry becomes careless and blind or unwilling to give justice voluntarily. It is the function of the central body to maintain right relations between labor and management, and it is the function of the University of Illinois Labor and Industrial Relations Institute to instruct central bodies that establishing satisfactory labor management relations is one of their main functions. I want to thank your honorable and able and distinguished professor for the kindly introduction, and I want to thank all of you for your very kind, attentive attention. I trust that the future will treat the central bodies kindly and also the Labor and Industrial Relations Institute of Illinois so that all of the good things that can come will finally come to these two great institutions of labor.